What's so great about? What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that asks great questions and gets great answers. My name, it's Terry.
And my name, it's Andy.
All right, don't get too cute, Andy. How the heck are you?
Very well, Terry, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Great to hear it. Really, really great.
Great.
What have you been up to, friend?
Not much. I don't know if you'll notice I'm feeling a bit more sprightly.
I was going to say, how's your week been since I was last talking to you?
Good. I've been off work, so I've been just easing back into not having a throbbing headache or everything feeling like, I got to go do that now.
I'm on it.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of me walking furiously up my fists clenched, whereas this week I'm more
wiggly fingers.
Yeah, loose as a goose, as they say.
And so you've been sort of just taking it easy around the house?
I've been kind of doing nothing, making sure Faye is resting up and kind of whatever she needs and stuff like that.
How's she doing?
Better, much better. But the doctor is still saying to her, you know, it could be another 2 to 3 weeks before you get your energy back, which I think still can't wrap my head around. It's mental.
Wow.
You know, that it's like, yeah.
That's you're so mad.
Yeah. So it said, like, could be 3 weeks of fatigue or so, like, wow. Which is just crazy. So
maybe it does a number.
Yeah. And, like, Faye's like, we go for a walk or something. And she's like, I'm absolutely wrecked. And I'm like, yeah, that's the disease or whatever you had. She's like, no, but I want to do this and this. I'm like, no, you had a major, major illness. Yeah. Like, and, you know, I'd say it's very frustrating for her.
I can imagine, like, because you just want to be done with it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Be normal again. Like, I'm out of hospital, I'm grand.
And you think if anything's going to stop my normality, it'll be something like COVID or something like that. And then this
that's
comes
it,
out, all right. Absolutely fair enough.
Wayne Knight just there in the corner. Stick, stupid.
Oh, what a character.
Yeah. I've kind of just been
good.
Easing back into things. Went and checked out a gym today.
Scouting? Gym scouting?
Well,
you skater poach?
I left my other gym because I was... the pandemic, it was... Like, obviously, it was shut down for a while and stuff.
Yeah.
But even when it opened up, say, in... like 2020 summer, I was barely using it, and I put it on pause for like 6 months, and then I realized 1 month it's like, oh, my pause is over. There's 80 quid gone out of my account. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm kind of wanting to get back into it, and this gym is, there's like, I think it's a 20 quid sign up fee and considerably lower fees than my old gym. And this
is that a bend on?
No. It's a Fuse. I think there's one in Bray.
Oh, okay.
On your way. But yeah, it seems really good. And they do classes, which is kind of what I would
be so you're
one
after.
Of my big things. Yeah, new spin. So, you know.
Yeah, you have been a spinsman since I've known you.
It's been a long time. Shouldn't get you. Okay. Get you. Without
I think
a
it was left
beat.
You.
Shut up. You're gonna quiz me on Timbaland. Out of the two of us has seen him live?
Yeah. Have you seen him live?
Yeah, I saw him perform with Jay-Z in The Point.
He was on the decks for
Jay-Z, but then like he did like when Jay-Z took a break.
His big...
Yeah.
He's always getting himself in the videos.
Yeah, but like
stupid look on his face, like, who, me?
You're teasing me. What a fucking song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Promiscuous Girl.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Can I ask you what you're drinking there, chum?
We talked about it last week. Oh, so good. Yeah, we talked about it last week. I just had to have it in this week. It's the Kinnegar. The Scraggy Bay, the Indian Pale Ale.
Very good, Terry. Well, I've got the apple and blackcurrant here. Same as it ever was.
How charming.
It's so delicious.
Yeah, and we're definitely getting the same thing here. Me drinking my lovely pint of can, and you drinking.
That's what we should name that discussion we were having off air. Let me just bring it up on air. Yeah. That's what we should name the different tiers. One should be blackcurrant and one should be lovely lime. Think about it.
Yeah. Which is higher is the question.
I'll give lime the nod. But anyway, excuse me.
Have you been up to anything yourself?
Yes, I went to the hospital on one of the days this week.
One of my frequent trips to the hospital.
One of my many trips to the hospital. But it was a pleasant visit. We were getting the scan to see the 20-week scan or the 21-week scan, whatever it is, and hopefully find out the sex of the baby. And it was all great. The person was very nice, and it turned out we're having a girl.
Yay!
We were both like, whew.
Relieved, yeah.
Yeah, and like I didn't expect to be as relieved, and like I don't know why. Like I'd have been totally happy with a boy,
huh?
Boys are little mad men. They're
little advertising executives. You're right. You never know. You never know what they're gonna come out with next.
You know, boys.
Yeah, lucky strikes. They're toasted.
But I'd say, in my inexperienced opinion, I would say that girls are easier for the first 12 years. And then they get harder. And boys are much harder for the first 12 years, but then they probably get easier. But yeah, that's just probably
I'm dreading puberty. I say, I'm watching that show, Yellow Jackets. I'm dreading those teenage years. I mean, I'm going to have to be coming to you from tips for when Joni.
Yeah, like it's mad when you start, because it's already kind of started now where it's like such and such. Like I never hear of anything mean in her school, which I'm always on the listen now for. I'm like, did you have a good day in school? Always kind of like just keeping an ear out for
who said that?
Yeah, it's like, oh, the fucking killer. but yeah, just having to even think about it.
Where are my keys, Kerry?
Get my gun. But yeah, that was the big news this week, so we're very happy about that. So Joni was very happy. We tried to do like a gender reveal thing for Joni. So when she got back, but like it just didn't work. We had like pink confetti in a balloon, and like so there was a balloon when she came back from school. We're like, oh, pop the balloon and it's in there, whatever. So she popped it, but like there wasn't enough confetti in there. It was just a little like you had to go in real close to see what color it even was. Like, oh, okay, like. Didn't work. But yeah, apart from that, nothing else. I was trying to think even beforehand. I was like, what have I been watching? But I was like, I don't like my go tos are still like YouTube or Twitch. You know,
Twitch
before. Yeah, I started to watch Twitch now.
What?
I just watched like Limmy playing on Twitch or Blind Boys on Twitch. You know, a few people like that.
Life, man.
I just like it. I don't know. I prefer yeah, that.
No judges.
It sounds like there's a bit of judgment there.
Bit of judges.
But yeah, so I don't really have anything in that. But what I did see, if I can just briefly talk about it, was
brief?
I assume you did, about Kurt Zuma.
This fucking son of a bitch. Kurt Zuma is a French football star playing for West Ham United. Just for those not in the know
There was a video that leaked or whatever this week of him basically beating his cat up, like kicking it, dropping it, slapping
it. I didn't see
the
video. Thankfully, I didn't watch it.
I did watch it, right? But I'll tell you why.
Because you know I'm a cat man. Well, I'm a cat man.
I mean, we're a couple of cats on here.
Don't you even try and compare yourself to me in the cat stakes.
I'm a catsman.
These days.
Yeah.
Now,
Johnny come lately.
Yeah, but
Johnny
now,
come catly. There's something there.
The pieces are all there.
Let me just give me an hour. I'll put it together.
But the reason why I watched it was because in the still shot that I saw, it kind of like I thought, well, like maybe, and like it's not that it was better, but like maybe he's kind of just sliding it along the floor. And it's blown out of context or something, because he looked like it was a real clear sort of kitchen floor. I was like, maybe, like, it's still not okay, but maybe that's what it was. But it wasn't. Like, he was dropping it on his foot and kicking it and, like,
throwing slippers at it. Shit.
But you know what the worst part is? There's a kid walking around at the time, and his brother or whoever it is filming it is like, the whole time. And it's just, it was one of those where I got, like, a feeling in my stomach, you know, where you get, like, Just that, like, this is so not okay.
Yeah.
And like,
it's fucking shit. That's what it is. It's shit. Like, they took the cats away from him anyway.
Good.
And then there's talk of him being like extradited to France to be arrested.
Good
like,
like
which
that's
would
a,
be
like,
brilliant.
That's a broken person. Like, clearly, it's not the first time he's done it. Like, you know, but like, that's a broken person who can do that to like a defenseless little cat. Like.
It's not.
Get rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, like, he played the other night, like, and West Ham.
They got huge stick for it, didn't they?
Yeah, well, the manager as well, like, Moyes, he let himself down there. I kind of always thought he had a bit more of integrity.
I don't think Moyes has integrity.
And
I thought so too, but I don't think so. After ever that since now, he threatened to slap that reporter.
Remember,
like, or it was some little joke. Like, ever since then, I kind of looked at him a little bit, like, United broke him. And then he's not been the same since then.
He kind of seems to be crawling back to his old, like, as in, like, he's a good manager, you know, he's doing very well with this West Ham team.
Yeah.
But then, like, that whole thing is like, oh, it's my job to pick the team.
Mm.
And it's like, I tell you, Fergie wouldn't have stood for that. That's why you failed the United. You had no character, mate.
It's your job to support your new manager.
We tried. The chosen one, Andy. He was the chosen one. You were the chosen one.
Yeah, and it's a shame.
Bit
because,
of Star
like,
Wars there for you, huh?
Okay.
You McGregor?
Oh, current Star Wars. Okay.
No, it was still like the, you know, episode 3 or whatever.
20 years ago.
But, 99 was Phantom Menace, so I guess that one was 2002, 2003 maybe.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
God. It's mad how many things are 20 years ago when they look back, like, just that was nearly 20 years ago, you know, or like vividly
I've been
remember
here for 20 years.
Like, I considered myself like an adult, like in a way, well, almost 20. I mean, like, we know now we weren't, but like at the time I would have thought, like, I am a grown up now.
Yeah.
And that was 20 years ago.
It's mad how, like, even 10 years ago. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm in my mid-20s. Of course I'm an adult. I'm like, you're still a child.
When I look back at, like, old posts or old whatever from, like, 2014, 15, where I think that was just a couple of years ago, I'm like, who is this? Who is this person? You know what I mean?
I'm still exactly the same person I was 10 years ago.
I don't know, because most of them are me and you back and forth on Facebook, and I'm like, getting mad, like, excited about, like, UFC or something, like, UFC, you know, something like that.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Anyway, Terry, what else you got going on? Got anything else for me?
I tell you what, I watched something on your recommendation.
Oh, well, now I'm interested.
It's Always Sunny, season 15.
Ah, yes. Thoughts? No.
It stinks, Andy.
Terrible.
It's pretty bad. Like, it's a pretty bad season.
Give me more. What didn't you like?
Pretty much their whole trip to Ireland is fucking.
Did you not?
What
about the second episode? Dennis is going mad.
Yeah, that's okay, but like also like such a missed opportunity to actually be good. Like, I know that this is the show or whatever, and they're all arseholes, but it's like, I'm going to go rent a castle. I'm like, roll my eyes, like,
now,
do me a favor.
I will say, I've actually watched it twice. We watched it, we finished it, and then we went right back and rewatched it. And I will say that, it, like, It was a little more jarring the first. I'm not suggesting that it has to be watched twice, but I just found when I watched it a second time, it was like I was settled into the show. It wasn't a new, like, oh, this is different. They look a bit different.
But I didn't really like this kind of speaks volumes to me and my humor. The funniest joke for me was like Frank eating the turd.
Like, oh, that was so fucking. I couldn't even look at it.
Danny DeVito being excellent. Or like, so good. Like one of there was a couple of bits. Like, I liked the maybe the first episode. It wasn't great, but it was probably as high as it got. Like, to be honest, in terms of, or maybe the roller rink episode was maybe the best one. But like the Ireland thing, because it's the last four episodes of the season. I was like. Oh.
I will say the Ireland stuff, it felt a little bit too stretched out.
But not even that. It was just like,
I would, you know,
you're here, you're in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, you come over here and you filmed over here.
Yeah.
Like, why not make it authentic?
Like,
and it's like, it's nowhere near
like
authentic.
Go to like Temple Bar or something.
No, I don't know, but like go to a whiskey distillery or
yeah,
something like that. It's like they're barely in a pub, like, and the whole COVID stuff really, like, I was like, oh, like, do you know how COVID works? Like, just don't do it. Like, it's not funny.
Did you like the scene where Dennis is holding in his cough when he doesn't?
No, I didn't like that. I didn't really like that. Like, you know, and then he's like, he went to a hospital and then he was fine. And it's like, oh, that's how it works. Like, literally the next day,
I know,
he's in the hospital, he's fine. And that's not a joke. Like, they don't play it like a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was just like, I just didn't think it was good.
What did you think of the scene with Charlie at the end? Is that a hit or a miss?
Crying and saying stuff about dad, like, miss. I was like, what's going on here? Like,
I thought that was a bit of a miss.
It's tonally all over the place.
Yes, like, that's exactly it.
Like, it kind of felt like they're going for their Mac moment from two seasons earlier.
Yes, I got
but
that
like,
too.
But like wildly just not, nowhere near close.
It was a bit out of left field, out of nowhere.
You know,
and it was too much. If it was a bit more understated, I think it could have been quite good, but he kind of went dialed.
He's not
up
a good
10.
Enough actor, that's the thing. He's
I think
not a
that's
good
it
enough.
That's what I thought too. I was like, oh, I don't know if he's pulling that
Rob McElhenney is a way better actor than Charlie Day. Like, Charlie Day for me can only play Charlie or equivalent
related
characters. Like, anytime he tries to do anything else, I'm like, no.
I know what you mean.
Like, Glenn Howerton and Rob McElhenney are the two,
I have to say,
standouts. Can I say this? I don't know if this makes me a misogynist or not.
Go on.
Caitlin Olsen, like, so much, like Faye was like, who's that, like, on the screen? And I was like, that's Dee. And she was like, what do you mean? It's like, that's the girl who's like from the episodes I watched years ago. And I was like, yeah. She's like, she looks awful. Like, her, so much plastic surgery done. And I'm like, I have to agree with her. I have to think she does look terrible.
I thought, it's weird. It's weird that you even say that, because I thought for the last couple of years that it was very jarring, where I'm like, oh, went a bit overboard there in the plastic surgery. But I actually thought that this season she had kind of settled down. It seemed to have settled down a bit, and she looked actually, I thought, better than she looked the last couple. But I definitely noticed it the last few seasons where it was very strike. I'm like, well, she looks absolutely nothing like she used to look.
And I don't think she, I think she still doesn't look anything.
Because I went back, because I've been going back to rewatch the old episodes to follow along with the podcast.
Yeah.
And like, it's like different, it's like a different person.
She had way more character or something there.
Yeah. Well, they always do before they go overboard with the plastic surgery.
It was a miss anyway for me, Andy.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear. I hope that time will.
I don't know if I'm
around.
Done with the show though. That's the thing. I'm like,
come on now.
They're definitely past their peak. You know what I mean? Like,
I'd agree with that.
They've to quote the show themselves, they've tipped.
Yes. Yes.
And that was when they were good.
Yeah, that was when they were great.
Tipping point.
I find season 7 of every show is the best season.
Pretty sweet spot.
Why is that?
Like just because we were talking about Seinfeld, like, I watched the season 7 finale of Seinfeld, which they thought was going to be the the finale. Last one. And I was like, man, this is a really excellent episode of TV. Like, you know, yeah. I was just like, wow, they really had everything.
Is there an argument that they should have ended it at that?
Yeah, but then you miss out on a couple. You miss out on like 10 to 15 classic episodes over those next 2 years.
Yeah, you'd like, get, you know, chicken roaster or, or, you know,
classic, chicken roaster.
You know, whatever it was.
Yeah, the little kicks. You're missing the death blow.
But yeah, some of those season seven, I thought that would like.
That
70 show, that was when Eric was unhinged. Mm. It's like, today I'll be catching butterflies. You know,
fat Eric.
Yeah. But like there's loads, like, you know, I think like Always Sunny or like Simpsons or, you know, arguably South Park or, you know,
South Park season 7 was the first year I bought on DVD, and that's
always stays with, close to your heart.
Oh, it's the one with the junior detectives. The mayor is up my ass, blah blah blah. Come on. He's like, well, at the end, after the big shootout, it's like, it means lots more money, lots more action, lots more teams. What do you say? He's like, I think I've got the answer we need. He's like, back to the dry cleaning thing.
Yeah, I actually seen the new episode of that.
Yeah, me too. It wasn't great.
It wasn't great, no.
Real jarring ending to it as well.
Yeah. I find some South Park can really miss their endings. Like, it really makes you appreciate, like, even The Simpsons, by the end that we were watching, they were starting to sort of falter a little bit with the endings. But for the season four that we watched, season 4 to 7, like, they always nailed it, like, the ending. And like, it's really like Family Guy, South Park, they, some of them end and you're just like, you're really gonna finish it with that?
Yeah, like it's a wet fart of a last thing, you know.
And like, usually it would have been funnier if they'd have cut like 5 seconds earlier or something like that. They always seem to just go an extra joke too far, and it's like, oh no.
I watched a movie.
Go on.
I watched how would I describe this movie other than it's fucking brilliant. It's a brilliant fucking movie. It's called The Last Duel. It's filmed over here in Ireland. I don't know if you remember, Matt Damon was stuck in Dalkey filming the movie over here.
I do, of course.
It is set in 1300s France.
Right.
And it is it's Ridley Scott who did Gladiator.
Okay, it's 3 hours long.
Uh-huh. It's 2.5 hours.
Okay.
But it's, you know, a Gladiator is Russell Crowe doing regular accent in Roman times. Yes. That's what this is as well. It's like Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Adam Driver.
Oh.
Doing, they're supposed to be, you know, French. Like, they all have French names in
but
it.
But they don't speak with French accents.
They just speak normally. And it is fucking deadly, man. Like,
it actually looks, the poster looks class.
It's on Disney Plus. It's fucking deadly. It's told from three different perspectives. It's your standard Rashomon.
Of course.
So where it's like, part one is Matt Damon's telling of things. Part two is Adam Driver's retelling of things. And part three is Jodie Comer's telling of things. The whole reason why they have this duel is because basically Jodie Comer is married to Matt Damon.
Oh, she's great as well, actually.
She's brilliant. She's really good in this. Yeah. And it's like, she accuses Adam Driver of raping her, and they have a duel to the death because of it. But there's loads of other stuff that happens in it. Ben Affleck is in it for like, I'd say about 20 minutes. He's playing like this count that everybody has to like look up to.
He looks like a smarmy weasel.
Fucking dead. He's so good at it. Like,
the poster.
And like, he's nominated for a Razzie for his performance. And like, this.
Really?
Yeah, the Razzies can suck a dick. But he's so fucking good in it. Damon is deadly in it. Driver is deadly in it. Like, and the action is like, you forget, like, Ridley Scott knows how to do fucking deadly.
He knows how to do sword fights.
Oh man, like, literally the first scene in it, like, the way it's great as well, because the way they tell it is like, the first scene is like, we've been told to hold the water, like, don't go to the river, and there's people across the river like getting beheaded by the rivals, and Matt Damon's like, for the king, and like charges over, and his retelling, he's like real like, yeah, fucking, he's the hero, let's go. And like you see him like killing a load of people, loads of fucking deadly action, like he saves Adam Driver's life. And then when Adam Driver is telling it,
well, don't give me too much because I do actually want to see this.
No, but like that's like the first 5 minutes.
Oh,
like,
okay.
And then when Adam Driver is retelling his version of the scene, it's like, it's a trap. We can't go over there. They're baiting us. And he's like, Matt Damon's like, does it matter? For the king? And he's like, they're like, well, leave him. He deserves to die. And it's like, Adam Driver is then like, we can't leave him. We need to go help him. So like he's portraying himself as the noble one, and Matt Damon's just like bumbling idiot that is getting everybody into trouble. Like,
and are they remembering the same moment?
Yeah, but it's from different
their
points
perspectives.
Of view. Yeah,
right.
It's fucking like really, really, really good.
Terry.
This movie like should have been in Oscar contention. I think.
Do you think it wasn't?
It made no money when it came out. Like Disney did not push it at all. Like because it's a Fox movie.
Wow.
And like
budget 100 million, box office 30 million.
Yeah. Like
whoa.
Nobody saw that. Like in my little movie corner on Twitter, everybody's like, "The Last Duel fucking rules." Blah, blah, blah. And it's like seeing the receipts. It's like nobody went to see it. They all went to see Spider-Man instead.
Of course.
And they were kind of saying it had this weird thing of like, Disney seemed to be cannibalizing its own movies in that like they were like any movie that was like for Fox that had been signed up for Fox,
yeah,
they would release it on the same weekend as another huge Disney release, like they release it like against the like Eternals or Shang-Chi or whatever like that, like and it'd be like they're like almost tanking the Fox stuff because it's not, it's stuff they inherited.
Oh, I see.
This is like
an unwanted child.
Yeah, this is the whole theory that they're saying. Like West Side Story was another one that, like, you know, it made fuck all money, but like,
didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg.
What?
Yeah, nominated for 7 Academy Awards.
Jesus. Thanks then.
Speaking of, this is the last thing I want to talk about before we get into it.
Go on then.
Oscar. Oscar season, the award. Did you see some of the awards?
No, but I figured I'd get my info from you on that.
Licorice Pizza.
What's it nominated for?
Best Picture, Best Original Screenplay, Best Director. Probably won't win Best Picture. Probably won't win Best Director. Maybe will win Best Original Screenplay.
I like the way you have your fists clenched, like you're all team Licorice Pizza.
It's not for me. I don't care.
It's for film.
It's for Paul Thomas Anderson. He's never won an Oscar. Like I would love for him to win one, even though they're kind of meaningless now. Like, you know.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's the criteria for winning an award now is like, it's almost trivial. Like it's not. It's usually not the best.
Like Don't Look Up was nominated for a bunch of them, and like that. It's the one with like DiCaprio on Netflix.
Oh yeah,
about the meteor coming.
Still haven't seen that. I've
no interest in it, and like the reviews have been awful.
Have they?
Yeah, but I think
I just heard everyone talking about it. I should watch it.
It was like 10 movies, and like 9 of them all have like 85% and higher for your best picture, and that one has like 58%.
Right.
Like it got really bad reviews.
I was gonna say, how many of the best picture nominees have you seen?
Let's have a look here. I'll do it quick.
I'm gonna hope for at least 40%.
So what's that? I need 4.
Is there 10?
Yes.
Well then yeah.
1, 2, 2 I've seen.
Oh. A little embarrassing. I thought you were
King Richard, Andy. Oh, I'm insane as well. Your boy got nominated for an Oscar.
Who?
Big Willie.
For what?
Best actor for King Richard.
Oh, and he's going to do it.
He's not going to do it.
Has he won one yet?
No, never.
No, it was Ali and Pursuit of Happiness, and he didn't win, but he's going to win this one.
Benedict Cumberbatch is going to win for Power of the Dog. Power of the Dog got 12 nominations, and it's fucking deadly.
I hope Big Will gets it.
No,
now I'm interested in the Oscars. Big Will's up for Best Actor. Look how much higher my voice is. I'm sat up in my chair. I'm excited now.
Like, the big one I found... Okay, let me just go through the best actor nominees, right? Because Nicolas Cage put in one of the best performances of the year and didn't get in. So you got Andrew Garfield for Tick, mm-hmm. Tick, Boom. Benedict Cumberbatch, Power of the Dog. Denzel Washington, The Tragedy of Macbeth. I mean, it's hard to argue with Denzel, but nominated 6 different decades now.
Whoa.
Javier Bardem, Jesus. Being the Ricardos, and Will Smith, King Richard.
He's in with a show.
I haven't seen
any of them, but he's in with a show up against them. Denzel's won, right? Because we all know the Oscars aren't going to actually judge it on merit. They're going to judge it on a little like, oh, he's already won, so we won't really. Oh, he's been nominated a few times. Like, I think they really do consider those
things. I think it's Cumberbatch's year, to be honest, because he is phenomenal in the movie. No, this is... I think he's been nominated a couple of times, but like, this is the one where you're like...
Right, we've got to get him out of the way.
Next gear. I think, like... I haven't seen Being the Ricardos. It's on Prime Video. Like, it's about the fucking Lucy show. Like, you know, fucking... but it's supposed to be awful as well. Like, it's supposed to be a really bad movie. But...
Such a shame. It's a shame for Will. You know what it's like? It's like when Liverpool had that amazing year and got 98 points and Man City got 99. Will Smith is Liverpool. He's never going to be nominated again.
This is like, I remember like reading the
Of course, review. Liverpool did go on to win the next year, as we all know.
Please. Yeah, I remember reading the review. Well, Will Smith, though, this is last chance saloon for him, the way he's going. And the performance, I just from like the bits I've seen from it, I'm like...
That's the big Will I love. I love serious, serious, not even, like hard on your luck, big Will. It's my favourite big Will.
But he's playing like Richard Williams as like a good guy, by all accounts.
I don't mind that.
He's not a...
Show me the movie, you know what I mean?
I mind it.
All right, well.
Yeah, well. Anyway.
We're going to have to watch it. We're going to have to watch it eventually.
Are we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of watching things, can we talk about this movie, Terry?
We're going to talk about I'm Thinking of Ending Things, the 12th and final Netflix original movie in our mini-series. Mm-hmm. Would you like some FF? Because there ain't no BO.
There's the t-shirt. yes, I would love some FF, Terry.
Did you know Brie Larson was originally cast in the role of young woman, but had to step down in order to focus on her Captain Marvel Avengers Endgame duties? Jesse Buckley,
fair enough,
was brought in to fill her shoes.
She did good.
Jesse Buckley won the Dublin Film Critics Circle Award of Best Actress. Just thought I'd throw that in there because it relates to our fair city. With regards to the production by Marshall Talmadge, Charlie Kaufman read the book and he was a huge fan and asked his producer, how could we make this? Producer's honest answer was, the only place right now that will let you make this is Netflix. Because he has, he's only directed 2 movies before this. They're not big hits. He's more known for being a screenwriter. Like, do you know much about Charlie Kaufman?
No, I know that he directed Eternal Sunshine.
He did not. He wrote it.
That's what I said.
That's why I said it. So, like, he directed 2 movies. Schenectady, New York, which was in 2008.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I've never seen it. It's on my list. Then he directed 2015 stop-motion animated movie Anomalisa, which is very, very good.
I'm surprised you haven't seen Cynic Doche, New York.
It's a blind spot for me. Because, you know me, Phil Seymour Hoffman is my guy. So, I don't know. It's just one that I've been putting off because I've heard it's not very accessible and I don't want to maybe be disappointed.
Right.
You want
to have this gem.
I want it to be good. I want it to be really good and I don't want to be like, oh, I don't like this.
And now I don't like him anymore.
Yeah. Well,
that's where I'd go. Well, that, and this discredits all his other stuff that I thought I liked. Oh.
So, you know, he'd written, he made a kind of, his big breakout was Being John Malkovich. And then, you know, he wrote Adaptation. He wrote Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. He's kind of this...
auteur.
He's like one of those rare Pokemon. You know what I mean? Like he just kind of shows
can't
up.
Say
every,
that I do.
He just shows up every now and again. You're like, oh, Charlie Kaufman's doing something.
Right, right.
Yeah, they're like, oh, there he is. Catch him.
Oh, get away. Break his legs.
So I think that's why Netflix were like, yeah, you want to do something with us? Okay, great. Yeah. Like, he'd only done two movies before. Why not? Like, it's again part of this branding thing.
Yeah.
They've given more to lesser people. You're right. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
The original cut of this film with no edits was over 3 hours long. So, you know, he's like, and I don't think he said they didn't cut
with no edits.
They didn't cut a single scene, but they chopped up scenes. So basically, every scene you're
basically
seeing,
they didn't leave too much on the cutting room floor.
It was more like, because the scenes are quite long, you know, like at times they chopped up bits of the scene. But he said pretty much every scene that was written, like the spine of it or whatever, you know, is in the film, which I think is quite amazing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That is pretty unheard of. Unheard of.
Last bit of FF, just because I thought it was quite funny.
F it to me, Terry.
Instead of it being, they use the term Tulsi Town for the ice cream.
Yeah.
In the book, it's Dairy Queen, and Charlie Kaufman originally wanted it to be Dairy Queen, but Dairy Queen would not allow them to use their name because the girl has like burns on her hand.
Oh, right, right.
And they were like, no.
It's probably
sorry.
Fair enough, to be honest, if
is
you're Dairy
it?
Queen.
I don't know, like,
if you're Dairy Queen, you're not thinking of arts, you're just thinking
I kinda
of
like it
protecting
better
your
than,
ass.
I kind of like it better that it's Tulsi Town, to be honest. Yeah. It kind of adds more character to the movie. Andy.
Terry.
Why don't you tell me what you thought of this movie? Because I am really, really interested to know your take on it.
What's your prediction?
You hated it.
Terry.
You better have finished it.
I finished it.
Yeah, you better have fucking finished it.
I've got a question, Terry.
Yeah.
Do you hate me?
No, I don't hate
Terry,
you.
Do
you.
Have
I, love
I done
you.
Something? Have I done something? Do you hate me?
No.
Terry. I think this was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
No.
In my life. I'm so angry. I'm trying to keep it in the comedic realm and not just get angry. Because this movie is, frankly, I'm speechless. I mean, how dare you, Terry? How dare you? And you've seen it. You knew what you were getting me in for. How dare you? That's what I thought of it, Terry. This movie fucking stank. I was furious. I'm still furious. I was thinking today all about, I was like, what can I even, like, how am I going to, what am I, I was so fucking annoyed at this movie. And so fine, I've gotten that out of the way with you. Now I'm going to direct my anger to the movie itself. This fucking, oh, I've so many thoughts rushing through my head, I can't even get them out. Can I just stop for a second?
Yeah. You're not going to like what I have to say.
What is? I want to stop
this
here.
Is the best one we've watched. After 12, this is the best one.
You must be joking.
This is close to
Mank.
It's higher than Mank, probably.
I would put this lower than Mank. I'll tell you now. Like Mank was just a little does not compute. Like, I just couldn't get it. There was no point. This, I was so furious. I absolutely hate movies like this. And
you
I tell
don't
you
understand
what,
it.
Yeah, I got it. She's not really there. It's all him thinking and all that sort of stuff. But like,
maybe you think like you
want. Maybe there's stuff I didn't get. I'm sure we'll get into it. But it's the sort of movie that I would have pretended that I liked when I was a teenager. You know what I mean? Even like, I wouldn't have got it, but I would have just thought it was kind of cool. You know what I mean? That sort of philosophizing dialogue, you know, that just of just people just talking, but not even making sense. Like, it was just the scenes in the car in particular.
This, when they're leaving the house is worse for you than when they're going to the house.
It was the same. It was. I mean, I was confused for a big part of it, and I was kind of like for anyone listening, for anyone who's still out there.
I will say it makes so much more sense
the second time.
Yeah, you pick up on so, like, that's why, like, I think it, like, the first time I watched it, I was not like you in that, like, I was like, this is terrible. I was kind of scratching my head, and then I kind of put the pieces together as you get closer to the end.
Mm.
And then I was like, oh, okay, that, you know, I was like, but did I understand it, or like, do I know?
Yeah, do I know everything that he was trying to hint at?
Did I understand the whole scope of it or whatever like that? Yeah. Like, and like, watching it again, everything is so much more crystallized.
Right.
That, like,
because you know going in what you're sort of looking
that
for.
He's the janitor. Like, Jake is the janitor. And that, you know, I'm thinking of ending things is not.
It's
him talking about killing himself, which is what he does. And this whole thing, like, he gets into the car to kill himself, to sit in the car and freeze to death.
Yeah.
And that, when that is happening, that's when our movie between Jesse Buckley and Jesse Plemons kind of kicks off.
Right. Yeah.
And then the reason why things start going crazier the longer the film goes is because he's closer to death and he starts getting things all mixed up in his head.
Right. So that's him remembering as he's in the truck.
Well, remembering, or like him imagining, you know what I mean? Like, this, none of this stuff ever happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's like,
she's not just one girl. She's like a bunch.
That's why, like, she's called like six different names in the movie, and she has six. She's like, she starts off. The first thing is she works as like a biology. Then she's a poet. Then she's a painter. Then she's a waitress. Like a waitress, then you know, like, all, and she has all these different names. Louisa.
Yeah.
You know, Lynette or whatever. Like, it's you know, this whole.
You know, like, it was. I will say this. It was, it looked good, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looked very good. The cinematography was good, particularly the Tulsi Town sort of ice cream scene.
Looked, very striking.
Looked great. Looked kind of like a dream. And you know what? I liked the idea of the story, and I even liked everyone in it.
So you liked it then?
No. I hated it viciously.
Did you
the
want your
dialogue?
Carrie?
What?
Yeah. What did she think about it?
She's as furious as I am, to be honest.
I'm gonna send her a bunch of flowers.
Now, let me just say this, Terry. Right. Please don't recommend a movie like this to me. And look,
I didn't recommend it to you.
Yeah, well, okay,
I assigned it to you.
Okay, that's worse.
Yeah.
I'm saying this. I felt really bad about turning off Mank, so I didn't turn this off. But
shouldn't turn it off Mank either.
No.
I'm the you're not the I'm the
No, I'm the
No.
I cannot watch a movie like this anymore. And 2 hours 14, like, they had an hour of that was them talking in the car?
Either side, I think, because it's like 20 minutes in the car at the start, 25 minutes, and then, maybe 20, like, you know.
It felt like half the movie was
Did you not even find the conversations that they had in
that
the car?
Was, That was the worst part. The part I loved everything except the dialogue. That like it, I liked the concept. I liked the actors in it. I liked how it looked. The dialogue. I absolutely hate that sort of just two people just sort of like
talking.
Yeah, but they had that sort of pedantic sort of like.
That's intentional.
I hate it because
Andy, it's intentional because this guy is imagining his ideal version of his relationship. He's a guy who's consumed a bunch of pop culture by himself, and he thinks this is what it should be like. And
I don't enjoy that, even if that's what they're going for. Yeah, like, that's
it is enjoyable that you're like, oh, look what he's doing here.
I'll say this: the scene in their parents, when he goes to his parents' house, that was the dinner table
scene is fantastic. You're not going to tell me otherwise. Like,
I would say that what I had here was that when they go to the house, I said that part was watchable. But I didn't necessarily enjoy it. But it was because I was a little irked at that point, and I was like, okay, what's happened here? And then I thought, when I did perk up, I was like, scratches on the door to the basement, great. And then when she looks out the window,
I knew you'd be fucking like
devastated that it went nowhere. Yeah,
I knew you'd be like, there's a monster in the basement. Like, no.
There's a monster in the basement.
Hey Kerry, there's a monster in the basement. It's like, that's nice. She's reading a magazine.
So I thought that, and then she looked out the window and she's like, we gotta get back, and then they're not there. And I was like, oh, where are they? And I was like, and then like they started messing with time, and I was like, okay, now we're talking.
Did you understand why they're messing with time though?
Because he is remembering.
He's
all through.
Confused. Yeah. He's dying. He's, you know, hypothermia.
He's dying
happening.
In the truck. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Like, yeah, I didn't cop that.
See, that's why, like, so say, you know, right, everything is so, like, kind of smooth and straightforward, like, as before they get to the house.
Yeah.
And even before the parents get there. If you think of this film, like I said, when she gets picked up by him at the start is essentially when the janitor gets into the car.
Yeah.
And is going to kill himself.
Right.
And like, if you can track those two storylines parallel, even though they're kind of dropping in the janitor parts in between that.
Every 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, if you could track those two parallel. So if you're saying he's getting worse and worse in the car, and he's, you know, getting, you know, sicker and sicker. Like, they show it at the very end where he's like, ooh, you know, taking off his clothes. That's what happens with hypothermia.
Right, right.
That kind of stuff. Like, if you think of that, like when he's deteriorating more, that's when the Jesse Plemons, Jesse Buckley stuff starts to go haywire.
Right.
And even when they leave the house after all the time jumpy stuff, he seems to have lost control. Because if you look at the first car ride, when he's like talking and she kind of pushes back against him, he is able to like wrestle the conversation to himself, and he is like the superior one and kind of puts her back in her place by him just changing topic.
Yeah.
Whereas the second car ride, when that happens, she like kind of has control over him, and he's just like defeated. He doesn't have the control he has of his imagination anymore.
Right,
is that making sense?
As the janitor's dying, he's getting more and more like unstable.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of
that makes sense. I see, like, as a concept, I quite like that. It was just even you have to admit it's slow. It is very slow.
But you're
it's just so.
Like, I will say to it, like, I guess this is part of the way he wants. Like, there's a whole chunk when they're talking about, like, woman under the influence in the set, when they're in the car, and, like, all of a sudden, Jesse Buckley, who, remember, he was like, oh, you were drinking, you had too much to drink or whatever. And she's like, did I?
Yeah.
She's quite, and then all of a sudden, she snaps a cigarette and starts, like, becoming, like, really, like, authoritative, an authority on this film. Like, what that is when she was looking around his bedroom, she saw a book by Pauline Kael, who is a film critic, and literally she is then reciting like a review of that movie that they're talking about. Like, it's a Pauline Kael review verbatim.
Right.
In that part. Like I didn't know that. I found that doing my research afterwards. Not many people are going to pick up on that. I got the gist of something that was going on. I was like, what's happening here? This is not right. You know what I mean?
This is a movie that gives you homework after it. Like, you know what I mean? And it's as if it's not long and boring enough as it is. And then you have got to do more work to even figure out what the fuck you just watched. I mean, the ballet scene at the end.
Can you not tell me, though, that it looks fucking... I thought you would actually appreciate being like, how amazing... Especially at this point in your life. It's an amazing feat. It's an amazing feat of like what skill it takes to be a ballet dancer. Like,
of course. But out of context, I mean, like, there's lots of beautiful things, but this was just, I was watching this and then they're standing looking at each other, and then two people who look like them wearing the same clothes come from behind them, and then they move out and start dancing around. I was like, oh fuck.
I love it. I think it's fucking deadly, man.
That and then the song at the end. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
The song at the end is a piss take of a beautiful mind. Yeah, well, it's from Oklahoma, but the whole thing at the end, like when he goes through and
how am I supposed to know that though? Like, how
was that? You never seen A Beautiful Mind?
You have to be, no offense, you have to be a certain type of film watcher to enjoy this movie.
But you knew it wasn't like it's not playing it straight to you, as in like he steps into this auditorium. I accept this janitor. He's like, yeah, I accept this award, and everybody has these weird, crappy old age makeup on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know something right is not happening. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I know this is supposed to be from a bit of a like fuck you to A Beautiful Mind, but like
it feels like you have to have done your homework, and then you have to do more homework at the end. Like, the average film, this is not accessible. That's the problem that I have, and that's why I find, dare I say, a little bit of pretension in these sort of movies, is because movies like Mank and movies like this, I feel, are quite exclusive. You know what I mean? Like, they know that half the people watching it aren't going to like it or watch it, but the other half are going to absolutely love it. You know what I mean? I was hoping that
you would find something that you... liked in it, like, at least
I liked how it looked, but just the dialogue just had me so, like, it really grates on me, that sort of like they were just waffling, like they were just having this like, well, at the time I was considering to be meaningless conversation,
but it's not meaningless, Andy. That's the thing, it all has meaning
if you
it all
dig
has...
for a fucking hour, you know what I mean?
It all has meaning.
And then
in
I was
the
thinking,
time
have like... seen this. Terry knows about the ballet scene, and he knows about the song.
I love the ballet scene the first time, love the ballet scene the second time.
The car scenes of just aimless ramblings. And it's like, and he's still, and like, I can't believe.
I wanted to talk,
fair enough, he didn't know that it was going to be like this, you know, for the other ones, like Mank. I was like, fair enough, he didn't know, like, you know. But this one, you gave me a gun with no bullets going into a fucking... I don't know. You think something else is something else.
I was really interested to see. And it's a good... I mean, what's 2 hours in your life, Andy? Let's be honest. Come on.
2 hours. 2 hours 14. Like, Terry, they're too long. And
you just told us you watched... all of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 15, arguably one of the worst seasons, twice.
Yeah. But not in one sitting. Like, yes, I watch a series, a couple episodes a night. I'm not sitting, it's this a 2 hour, two, easily, 2 hours 14.
I could easily see you watching 4 episodes of If It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
So what's that? 80 like? Minutes.
It's not. It's like...
yeah, it is.
100 at least. Like,
it is not. They're 22-minute episodes. I'll give you 88.
Give me 90 and you'll like it.
All right, 90.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I thought, like... I wondered if Terry thinks that I'm capable of appreciating this movie.
That's the question. That was the question I had.
Did you kind of expect this sort of reaction?
I didn't maybe expect as much. To hear you say it's worse than Mank.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess as well, I had other friends who were like, who...
Do you know anyone who has seen this and like it? Can I ask?
Well, I watched...
answer the question.
A couple of people I know who said...
Personally?
No, I know them personally. Okay. You know them as well. And they were like, oh no, fuck this. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, maybe it's me. And then that's why I was like, I wanted to rope you in and see.
But I'm the ultimate fuck this.
Yeah,
person.
But also, you know, the podcast has changed, you remember?
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, not this much. And you know what? I looked, you know how you can tell as well? I've seen loads of reviews and I read loads of reviews after this just to get a perspective and to understand the movie a bit more. I did my homework that they made me do.
Nobody made you do
it. But like, they made me. But it was like, you can always tell when a movie is like 88% on the tomato. I know you can't judge Rotten Tomatoes really, but
fuck off,
88%, 88% critics, 49% audience. And I was like, that's exactly it. All the critics, like, it's hard to find a legit bad review from a legitimate like source, but any of the like user comments or like, you know, things like that, like, it just seems like it was one for the critics, like Mank. One for the critics, one for the buffs.
Well,
that was one for people. That was one for film buffs, Terry. That was a film buff.
All right, fine. Can we talk about some of the performances?
Before
we wrap up, like Jesse Plemons, nominated for an Academy Award this week. Best Supporting Actor, Power of the Dog.
I say I really like him. I thought he was great in this.
He wasn't
supposed to be likable in this, but I really didn't like him.
Yeah,
like the character.
Anyway. Yeah,
but I can't say there was a bit of bad acting in it at all. Like, I will say that.
What do you think of David Twellis?
What is he from?
He's from loads. Like, what would you know from David Twellis?
He was great, by the way.
He was fucking great, yeah. If I can't see you looking sad, then how would I know you're sad?
You're only just talking about him, weren't we?
Were
we talking about him because you were talking about this movie on a previous pod?
I don't know. Let me see. What movies has he been in recently?
Harry
Potter, yeah. Like,
I'm thinking of.
Oh, he's going to be in Avatar 3, apparently.
Huh. Avatar 3?
Well, I mean, Avatar 2 is supposed to come out this year. I'm trying to think of anything that you would know him from. Yeah, he's in Harry Potter movies. He plays like the werewolf guy.
I've seen him, yeah. No, I can't think of it. I thought something would click, but no.
Or maybe it's TV that you might know him from.
Yeah, I was looking at TV here.
He's in Fargo. He was quite good in Fargo. He's the Shame Wizard from Big Mouth. Did you watch Big Mouth, no?
I went off after a couple of seasons.
Like, you might see him on your, like... Sky or whatever. He's in that new thing, Landscapers, with Olivia Colman. So you see his face around. Like,
he's a good face. He was great in it, though. I thought he was excellent.
The irrepressible Toni Collette was also fantastic.
She plays crazy good.
She's so good, though, isn't she? Like,
yeah,
she's really brilliant. Really good in it. Like,
she's almost like to the point now where like I'll see she's in a movie and I'm like, aside, but I'll like, okay, this is gonna be something. Like, it's not gonna be nothing here.
And Jesse Buckley, who I think is gonna be a fucking star, Kerry's own Jesse Buckley.
Really?
From Kerry, yeah.
Didn't know that.
I think she's great.
She's Irish, like?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
She's really good. Huh. She's really, really good. She's up for an Academy Award this year as well.
Okay.
For The Lost Daughter. Really nice. Like, Jesse Plemons is, I don't know if they're married or they're in a relationship. Him and Kirsten Dunst are in a relationship, and they both were nominated for Academy Awards for Power of the Dog, both their first Oscar nominations. Huh. And it was like, Kirsten Dunst saw on the TV that she was nominated for an award, and then people were like ringing her, telling her, like, Jesse Plemons was nominated, but he was like on set working or something, so she like rang him and she was like, she said she got to be the first person to tell him that he was nominated. I was like, really nice story. Like,
that's nice.
I'm happy yeah, for good them. For them. Yeah.
He is great. He's a great actor.
So good, I think. He's like, even in this, like you say, he's not likable. But like that dinner table scene alone where he's just like squirming in his seat and he's so like
angry
and uncomfortable and like, you know, I thought he's
he was great. Particularly
so
in that
watchable
scene, he gave
so
more.
Watchable particularly on the whole thing, like, or even every time where she's like, I'm thinking of, he's like, you're here, like, you know, he would just like immediately like be like real chipper to like just take
it. It took me a while
take control to sort of, again. Like,
yeah, I was like, the mood is changing in this car. Like every 10 minutes, I'm like, why is she talking like that now?
Yeah,
you know, it took me like as I was figuring it out, I was like, what?
That's and that it's supposed to be from stuff that he's absorbed.
Yeah,
and like I don't know, like you're
very
saying,
very interesting idea. Like and, very, and I generally like I love. This kind of thing. I really liked Eternal Sunshine.
That's what,
because
I knew you loved Eternal Sunshine as well. So that's why I was kind of maybe holding out hope.
And like Vanilla Sky almost is a little bit of a lesser version of, but something
Vanilla Sky is a more like populist, like you say, accessible version of it. Like.
Yes. So it's kind of like in that sense of like things aren't what they seem, which I generally love in movies. But it was just, I thought it was just ruined by the pace and the two big long scenes of dialogue in the car really killed it for me.
Like, was there anything in the car that you were like even she's like, oh, I didn't know you were into musicals. He's like, yeah, not really. And then like he lists like 20 musicals on the top of his head. Like, I thought it was great. Like, he's like,
I was, you know, like I get to a point where I'm kind of watching it where I'm just like. Like, I'm not taking
you're
it
just
in
hearing
now.
Words.
I'm just like, hearing it. I'm pressing up on the remote every minute. And I'm like, how fucking long is left in this? I'm in prison. that's what I was thinking. I'm sorry. Look,
you've
I know.
You have nothing to be sorry for, my friend.
But
I'm not sorry, for the record.
And I'll tell you what summed it up as well. If I may.
This will put a bow on it, whatever this is.
The little minuscule text at the end. Those pretentious twats.
And at the start,
You couldn't even read it.
That's
it
the
was
point.
Like, it was like faded. They don't even let you read. They don't even let you understand the text, the credits. Like, oh, you got to work for that too. Like, we'll make it, so you need a magnifying glass to see casting by whatever the fuck. It was just, like, you can't even get, and apparently I read online there was a post-credit scene. I didn't.
I didn't know about that. Okay.
Yeah, well, wasn't sticking around for it, but, I mean, really, I mean, I said at the start, but this is the bottom of my list. It's a zero.
Zero? What?
I'll give it a two for the acting. What about you? This is your number one then, is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hold on. Let me just read
this here.
How
crazy is it? Like, we're so different.
Yeah. We're from two different worlds.
At
the end of the film, it appears as Jake has committed suicide by staying overnight in his car during a snowstorm, finally letting go of his fake lives he conjured in his mind. However, what happens right at the end of the credits totally redefines his death, and it all has to do with a car engine turning over.
Oh, you've missed a pivotal plot point there, fella.
It seems... Hold on.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, it's all... That's fucking shite that it's like... It's possible that he turned the heat up. We get... blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
Yeah. No thanks.
I reject your hypothesis.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that's one of these fucking listicle... Oh, and don't get me wrong, I love a good listicle, but like... You know,
I don't know what that is.
You know, top 10 films.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's, I love a good one, but
yeah.
You know, that kind of shit. Anyway, so it's zero. Is that what you said?
I'll give it a two.
So
One out of five, we'll say.
I'm giving this a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Out of 10. I loved it. I fucking loved it. Even better the second time.
Watching it willingly, watching it twice.
Yeah,
I can't get over
if
this.
If Faye ever expressed an interest to watch it, I'd watch it a third time. God. I would watch it a third time.
I'd love to know what Faye thinks of it. You know, I think she would. I think she'd be Team Andy on that one.
I think she would like it.
You'd be bloody in her ear explaining everything.
No.
Let her watch it without the armbands.
Okay.
And then see what she thinks.
If anything, me explaining
without
it.
All the assistance.
Just watch it the other day. if anything, me being in her ear would turn her off more.
Okay.
Yeah. I need to be in the kitchen ironing or something. Like, did you get to the Tulsi Town bit yet?
Yeah. Do you understand what that represents?
Hey. Did you see that, like, the band-aid on the dad's head moved from that scene to that scene?
That's interesting. And that plays into, do you remember what happened there an hour ago? Yeah.
Anywho, so this is my top. It's your bottom.
Bottom. Yeah.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah. It's so cool. It's so different. Yeah. Like, even the Always Sunny stuff earlier, I was like, hated it, loved it. Yeah.
Could we do maybe, I probably should have brought this up off mic, but maybe we do like a bit of a wrap up. Would you have like a favourite performance out of the 12?
Okay, let me have a look. Favourite performance, I would say...
I've got mine anyway.
I would give it to Delroy Lindo in The Five Bloods.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, there we are. Back on sync.
It's just a great performance, like.
Yeah, it was brilliant. That's the one that I've thought about. It's the one that I've thought about the most.
I mean, I had What's Going On playing here earlier on today. Yes. Yeah. And whenever I'm listening to that Marvin Gaye now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of those guys walking through the jungle.
Walking through Vietnam. Singing. Like, yeah.
It's fucking deadly.
That a cappella version as well of What's Going On. I was seeking that out after the movie as well. It was brilliant. Yeah.
Would you have like a favourite scene?
Okay, favorite scene. Now, give me a second. Do you have yours?
I think I do. I think the scene of, like, in Mank, where it was like the... I just remember being like blown away by everything that's happened. When it's like they go meet your man, Louis B. Mayer, and then they take that walk down, and you're like, he's this hard ass. He's like, we spend whatever amount of money, a million per year, on scripts we don't even buy or whatever. And he's like, hey, how you doing? Yeah. Like, this whole this dynamic walk and talk, no nonsense business. And then it's like, it goes to him in front of all his employees, like, we've been hit really hard this year.
Yeah.
And I'm asking you. And I was like,
and they're all cheering him. Yeah, that was good.
But they're all like angry at the start. And then they start. Yeah, it's like, we're the family here. Like, I think that one really, I was like, who is this little small twerp? Was my initial thing.
Controlling everyone.
Yeah, but like, even when he's in the room, he's like, that was his brother he fired. And I was like, who is this little twerp? All this like big busyness of him walking down the aisleway. Then him being like a sniveling kind of like, we have no money.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like Mank being like, it's not even the worst thing he's ever done. or maybe like a close second would have been, I'm trying to think, for like from one of your movies,
there was a few good scenes I thought in The Forgotten Battle. There were more action scenes, like, you know, like that plane scene
in
The
really
Forgotten
good.
Battle was excellent. That's such a small budget, like, I don't understand it.
That looked
really good, falling from the sky, and they
stretch every
penny, like,
yeah.
There's a few scenes, like a lot of the, like, I liked the action stuff, to be honest, and like in The Five Bloods, the second half of it, like, there was some really good sort of, you know, like the landmine scene.
Delroy Lindo, that was good. Delroy Lindo getting murdered was pretty fucking good as well.
Yeah,
in the air and all, like.
So like a few of those, even though Devil All the Time was my number one, I can't think of an exact scene that I thought like that's deadly. But overall, I mean, pound for pound.
And Devil All the Time, the girl getting shot in the neck, stabbed. Was she shot or was she stabbed in the neck?
Yeah, stabbed.
Yeah, like that was pretty, just
the
way she was stabbed. Like,
yeah, and the way she died and all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was interesting, but what about, I mean, Would you have a any other accolades we can give them in a wrap up?
No,
biggest
surprise for me is the Forgotten Battle. I think
okay
was the one that I was like,
yeah, you know, better like, than I thought it was going to be.
Like I kind of when I was looking at your list, I was like, His House was going to be the one that I was honing in on. Like I said, almost made my list.
Yeah,
so I was happy to see you put it on there. I was like, Forgotten Battle, never heard of it. Calibur, never heard of it. Those are two like nice surprises.
Yeah.
In the Tall Grass was one that I like. It'd be something that I would put on myself because I almost had put it on a couple of times just to be like, I'll stick this on.
Fun movie.
Like. Yeah, exactly, and it is fun.
Like
Patrick Wilson will probably be up close for like one of my best performances. I thought he was fucking deadly.
Man. Yeah. I see he's in a new thing now as well.
Moonfall. What if the moon fell to Earth, Andy?
Is that what it's about?
Yeah. I think there might be aliens in the moon.
They're like, now you've got me. That's what. See, when you give me. If you could sum the movie up in a sentence, you've got me.
This is the type. You would love him because it's Roland Emmerich. So it's the guy who did Stargate, Independence Day, 2012, Day After Tomorrow.
Not as good those last two.
Yeah,
but
it's funny how his career when it got on, it's not as good. Like, interesting that. Like, so now he's doing one about the moon falling to Earth.
I love a concept movie like that. Like, that's it. That's all I need.
That's too stupid. Like,
that's all I need.
It's too stupid. What if the moon fell to Earth?
What if the Earth's gravitational pull got a? Going to do something with gravity, I assume.
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Maybe they get a big, kind of whip it and pull it.
A string? Like, a big string?
A string.
Yeah, string.
A string.
Biggest disappointment?
Biggest disappointment? Probably there's someone inside
your
house. That's
the biggest disappointment for me, because I was like, ooh. Horror. I'm a big, you know. I don't want to keep talking about how much of a scream head I am.
There we go.
Yeah, but you know, even you know,
I would have thought this would have been a safe.
I would I would love to do like a teen slasher series. I've seen them all. I've seen your Screams. I've seen I Know What You Did Last Summer's, like Jack Black being a Jamaican guy. In the sequel, I've seen your Cherry Falls. I've seen, you know.
What's the Cabin Fever?
Valentine. Cabin Fever is not, though. Like, Cabin Fever is a zombie Cabin type Fever, thing. Like,
Cabin Fever was a weird one because it was so, like...
Who was the director of Cabin Fever again?
I don't know, but it was a bad movie. Possibly it was Eli Roth. But it was a bad movie. It was that
you loved it though.
The usual trope. No.
You're mad
Fever.
About like the guy getting it was hit so with funny. An accordion in his neck or something like that. Like,
no, it was more.
Oh, it was the harmonica, wasn't it?
But there was more. Yeah. Like, it was like, that sort of trope of like the guy was like, you know, there was literally a scene where the guy is like, this is a movie, Cabin Fever, from like 15 years ago. It's like a horror.
Urban Legends, that was another one.
But there was like a trope where he's like, you know, we've been to the hot girl. It's like, you know, we've been friends for, you know, a long time. And I was just wondering if, you know, like it was that sort of like awkward teen. I was like, really? Like,
Your Halloween H2Os.
Okay, well.
Your Psycho remakes. I mean, I've seen them all, Andy.
Can you tell me what we've got coming up this season, Terry?
Ooh, next miniseries.
Yeah, dying to know.
So remember, Andy, a little while back I told you I was watching The Matrix.
Yes.
And have you seen The Matrix, the first one, even?
The first one, of course.
You know Agent Smith's, his iconic line?
No.
Mr. Anderson.
Oh.
It's not Paul Thomas Anderson, Andy. It's Wes Anderson.
Okay.
We're doing 10. Wes Anderson's 10 movies. Now, on the plus side for you.
10 is a lot.
10. He's made 10 movies. We're doing 10 movies, okay? And most of them are under 2 hours. The average running time is an hour, 30, hour 40. So you can't be angry at me for that.
Oh, Terry.
We're doing them.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Hold on. Bottle Rocket, Rushmore, The Royal Tenenbaums, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, Darjeeling, which I seen. And I liked. Fantastic Fox, I liked. Moonrise Kingdom. The Grand Budapest Hotel.
I can't wait to do the Grand Budapest with you.
I love dogs.
Yeah. Only 10 movies, Andy. What are you talking about? Like,
okay. Okay. Okay.
It's going to be great.
It will. Well, look, I'm sure it'll be better.
They're,
I'm just,
like, and
I'm
they're,
just
all,
still,
they're all on Netflix.
Still bleeding from this movie.
They're all on Netflix. They're all on Disney Plus.
Are they? Okay.
Okay. Majority of them. Majority of them are on.
Bottle Rocket?
Afraid not. It's the only Criterion Blu-ray that I own, so I'll be watching it in super-duper high def.
Okay.
Stars Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson.
Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson.
You find okay. that, like his... Okay. It, and by the way, his cast, Andy, his, everybody is in his cast, especially as it goes along. Like, check okay. out the cast for...
Bill Murray in about half of them, is he?
Probably in more than half, like... If you check out the cast for The French Dispatch, his latest one, fucking you got Benicio del Toro, Adrian Brody, Timothy Chalamet, Francis McDormand.
Yeah, but the problem is, Terry, is that
you don't
gonna
you,
be.
You haven't watched any of them yet. You don't know that there's a problem.
Okay.
You don't know that there's a problem.
They're all slow movies.
They're not slow movies. Are they not? They
okay.
zip.
Okay. They you zip say that a little long.
No, but like these movies.
All right, Rushmore, 93 minutes, that's fine. Bottle Rocket, what have you got?
87.
91 minutes.
Yeah, there
okay.
you go. Like, you know, like, okay. there's a okay. bunch of them. It's just...
All right.
Fucking, why am I doing this, like...
Fantastic Mr. Fox, 87 minutes. There
you
we're
go.
Talking.
Like,
I'm just, look, if it wasn't for the fact that this was the last movie, I'm sorry, I'd be more open to it. It's just that I've been hurt before. And
give
you're
me,
saying
give me,
it's okay.
Give me 1 second. Give me one second.
Okay. Oh no, folks. What can I say? I've seen Fantastic yeah. Mr. Fox. I've seen the what's this? What is this?
It's my big book of Wes Anderson, Andy.
What's in it?
Oh, it's. What's not in it? How about this?
Hey.
You're in good hands. All plenty right, of buff to be
okay.
had. Plenty
Great.
Of buff to be had, huh?
Okay, they'll be more fun. They'll be more fun than these. That,
I mean,
you know what?
You know what? Look at this picture.
Yes, it's Bill Murray. excellent hat. Okay. Okay, you don't have to... Okay.
Mr. Fox.
I'm interested in this stop-motion Isle of Dogs thing.
I want it on Blu-ray.
Okay. I'm interested
look,
in
look,
I'm
surely,
interested.
Surely you have to admit... And I think it is... Somebody on the Patreon...
I've got trepidation.
They've asked us. Somebody on the Patreon have asked us to do Wes Anderson because he's come up a few times in conversation and you're
like
to
it's know,
a huge blind spot for you.
Yeah, I would like to know. I've seen...
And this,
two
is what, this is what the show
of
is.
Those 10.
This is what the show is, Andy. It's about
educating me.
Yeah. Well, if you think about the first series we did, it was on Marvel.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, two,
okay.
yeah. You know?
Same with Gus.
This is what it is. This is when we're at our best.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? You're right. You're right.
I'm always,
okay.
I'm
excited.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
I'm excited.
There he is. Yeah. There he is. Look at that
all
smile.
Right, let's do it.
Yeah. That's what we
okay.
do it for. There he
Excellent.
Is. We got him laughing well, again, folks. He's
well
on
then,
board.
Okay. But now, do you want to go jump straight in or do you want to have a little buffer zone?
I think
zone?
We probably need a bit of a buff. A Michael
okay.
buffer.
I would have gone with Bruce, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was actually thinking of Bruce when I said Michael.
So what do you want to do next week?
Well, I was going to say, to link into one of our previous miniseries, our Big Willy's Flops.
Did you deliberately flop your laptop as you said flop?
Absolutely, yeah. That was Big Willy flopping on the table. We talked about how much we hated Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I went to see The Suicide Squad, and we kind of had put it penciled in for a review at a future date. And I'm
okay.
thinking maybe, you know, John Cena's got the new Peacemaker TV show that is linked to Suicide Squad that's coming out now. So why not strike while the iron is hot and watch a movie. Okay. It's a fun time, Andy. It's by it's by James Gunn of Guardians of the Galaxy fame, so you know.
Okay. Is it better than Suicide?
Oh, thing? Andy.
Night and day?
Not comparable, like.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Okay. So great.
It's funny, it's first of all.
Okay. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Well, listen, on that bombshell, should we get our plugs in, Terry?
Please.
You can find us on social media at WSGA Pod on Twitter and What's So Great About Pod on Instagram. You'll find links there to everything we do, including latest episodes, some Patreon freebies, and the Patreon itself.
Now, the Patreon is where I normally talk about things, but Andy has a bombshell announcement.
Yes, we're introducing a new tier because basically while we love the Patreon stuff, but we'd like to grow it and we think our best stuff is on the Patreon, and so we would like for more people to hear it. So we're creating a second tier where you can essentially pay what you want. So it can, I think you have to pay at least a euro or a dollar or something like that, or two. I don't know what it is, but we'll put it at whatever small amount. And I think you can edit it. You can keep it as it is. If you are on the current Players Club and you want, and the $4.50 a month is a little bit too rock and roll for you, then you can feel free to jump there. But we just want people to enjoy it. So if whether it's £2 a month or $4.50 a month, it's pretty. We're hoping more people will jump on.
We were trying to go for that blind boy model of, like, you know, buy a cup of coffee or whatever, you know, like you say, pay what you want. But Patreon has kind of put some restrictions on changing your tier, which is probably good to protect you from content creators like us if we get a bit greedy, being like, well, you're
guess what?
Now you're up to 100 euro. Yeah. Well, we both went to 100.
Yeah. It's the go-to.
Yeah.
So,
do that for one
so,
month and then.
Yeah. That's that.
Yeah.
We're sorted. And
move on.
We never heard it.
Move our podcast onto the next town.
So you can essentially pay what you like on this other tier. If you want, if you've been curious about that Patreon that we're always shiting on about, it's really, I think, you know, people who are on the Patreon would agree that it's probably where our best stuff is. It's a good time.
Yeah.
So
we have a lot of fun out there. Like,
now what we have to do is settle on a name. We were having a discussion beforehand of what to call the tiers. I think we might have hit on something with the apple and blackcurrant tier and the lovely lime tier.
Okay.
Huh? That's something.
Okay, look, I'm just going to say what I wanted to call the new tier.
Go on.
I wanted to call it the Billy Joel. Because
it doesn't make sense.
It does make sense. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? We were talking about it last week. We were talking about it last week.
This "what can I tell you" joke was made last week on the pod, and now we're changing the whole tier.
We're always going on about Billy Joel, though. Always.
Yeah, but lovely lime is an in joke. I'll even give lime the higher, higher tier.
Whatever.
Hey, how about this? How about we just ask the players? Oh well, this isn't on the Patreon, but you know,
why don't we put
listening?
It up? We'll put it up on the Instagram. How about that? So anybody can say you want to go with Andy's stupid cordial names or Terry's awesome kick-ass Billy Joel name.
Now, or will I just put a text box, say like, what should we call it, and just have them send in suggestions?
Can you do both?
No. But we can take the suggestions and put them in a poll.
As long as Billy Joel gets on the poll.
Of course. Well, it'll be an option. If it's picked, like, I have no.
What do you mean? I'm picking it.
What?
I'm picking it. I'll do it on the Instagram then. I'll put it in the text box.
you'll physically be picking it.
Okay, I want Billy Joel on the ballot, okay?
Of course, it'll be on the ballot.
Yeah, fair enough.
But anyway, that's just the minor details, folks. Shouldn't even be bringing.
Don't
this
mess
up
with the
it.
Stranger, Andy.
anyway,
now, so, yes, that's look. So Patreon aside, guys, if you can't afford to pay the $4.50, the €2, whatever, you know, you can do me another solid. You can help out the podcast another way by giving us a rating or review. Now, Andy.
Yes.
You mentioned it earlier on. This had a rating of 49% in the audience meter.
Okay, yeah.
Swap that around. It's 94. 9 minus your 4 equals 5. And that's the review.
Oh,
I
my
want.
God.
It's a 5-star review. Either on your whatever, your Apple Podcast, your Spotify.
Excellent.
I think you can actually follow on Apple Podcast now, which, you know, if you give us the old follow, it's pretty helpful as well.
Absolutely. Anything you do, even if you think, oh, I don't want to bother the lads by telling them about the show. If you like the show, just tell us, tell a friend.
We'll repost it. If you're telling us, it'll go on the socials. Tell a friend, you know, post on the socials saying, Jesus, those lads, they sure do talk for a while, but they're fun. And, you know, we like their rapport in general.
They do say like a lot. Oh, yeah. It's terrible. If I'm going back over man. And edit and I just focus on the amount of times I say, we both say like...
We're dubs. We're dubs. That's what dubs say.
And I never pick up on it unless I like hone in on it.
We're not doing our radio voices where it's exactly. like, hey, thanks for tuning in.
Because I'm me. What you see is what you get.
Yeah. I like me.
I don't know the rest.
My kids like me. Not the genuine article.
What you see is what you get. Yeah. Well, listen, on that bombshell, on those bombshells, Terry, should we put a pin in this pod?
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, just to incentivize you.
Oh, yes.
Or even incentivize. What I get?
Go on.
To entice you onto the Patreon. Yeah. This week we're covering our top 5 2000s comedies. Yes. Lovely suggestion from...
I meant
Finger
to
up
say,
there.
I'm sorry, sorry, how rude, I'm sorry. I went to say, in the Patreon tier thing, very importantly, the people who remain on the current tier, we're going to start sending out some goodies again. Remember in the good old days when we started the Patreon and you would just get free shit to your door? We're going to start doing that more now, but that's only on the original tier or whatever the 450 tier is or whatever like that. You don't get that on the other tier, but you get all the episodes, so... Just want to nip that in the bud now.
Excellent. Well,
okay, great.
Well done.
Thanks.
Yeah, top 5 2000 comedies this week.
Yeah, sorry, cut right across you there. As I was saying.
And a big thank you, before I forget, because I forgot last week, big thank you to Neil Murray for our lovely song intro. Mm-hmm. And on this one and on the Patreon as well. Like,
yeah, he provided us with some gems.
Yeah.
Really went above and beyond what we wanted. Super talented.
I am going to mention it every week.
Good. Makes me proud to have such talented fans of the show. Makes me feel cool.
I mean,
have cool fans.
Every time I click on one of our episodes, you gotta run the tape back to try and stay fresh. When I hear that intro, I'm like, oh yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It's great.
Grooves.
Yeah, it's great. Really does. Thanks again, Neil.
Thank you.
Andy has the other place you can find the Cable Crusader on Twitter.
YouTube.
Yes. And what's he on YouTube?
The Housewives.
Of course, yes.
yes.
Okay.
So, on that note,
we'll see you next week for Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad. Excuse me. The Suicide Squad. Words have lost all meaning.
All right now. Thank you.
some are steel, some are silk, and some are leather. They're the faces of a stranger, but we'd love to try them on. Yeah, we all fall in love, but we disregard the danger. Though we share so many secrets, there are some we never tell. Why were you so surprised that you never saw the stranger? Did you ever let your lover see the stranger in yourself? That I came home to a woman that I could not recognize. When I pressed her for a reason, she refused to even answer. It was then I felt the stranger kick me right between the eyes. Disregard the danger, though we share so many secrets. There are some